thank you very much. As this group is very aware, getting the ordinances on the books in December was a flurry of activity. And when you do things quickly, sometimes you miss a couple things. So the proposal before you tonight is to request your permission to initiate a text amendment to clean up the language in the zoning code. We took a lot of care as we put this together for you to make sure we really weren't making policy changes. We were just cleaning up policy that you guys already created back in December. The meat of this is changing the titles. There's a lot of responsibility vested in the planning and development director, and we don't have one of those. We have the public works director approving special exceptions. Don't quite know why. And we also have some duplicate language in the zoning code. There's noise regulations in the zoning code, but we also have noise regulations within the offenses code governed by the police department. So our recommendation is to take it out of the zoning code and keep it with the police department where it should remain.
Okay, makes sense. I think everybody, I know, has gotten the red line version, had time to review it here over the weekend, so let's start on this side. Any questions for Jennifer? All right.
Well,
yes, Robert.
Just a clarification. This is the same sort of deal, right? This is going to go to the community council. If we encourage you to take it to them, and they'll review it, amend it, if, you know, or have their input, then it'll go to the zoning board, and then it'll come back to us for two votes.
Yes, since you're amending the zoning code, or you're considering amending the zoning code, it needs to follow full zoning procedures.
Okay. So we got plenty of time.
Yes, this would return to you for first reading on May 25th and second reading on June 8th.
All right. We had talked about, and I didn't see, or maybe we're just changing language here and not changing about the number of unrelated persons getting a permit.
But somewhere else.
Correct. We did not change that here. There's going to be some stuff a little bit later on in the property maintenance code and the building code that touches upon that. But honestly, we just wanted to keep this amendment very simple and very clean so that we're changing to make the language consistent with the intent of what we tried to do on the 18th. And if we need to make policy changes, that needs to be its own separate, thoughtful decision.
All right. Any other questions, Jennifer?
All right.
All right, first read on ordinance to amend Chapter 14, Development and Environmental Code to reflect internally consistent language of the EPP requirements. Jaron, did I steal your thunder?
No, sir, not at all. An ordinance amending Chapter 14 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by making it consistent with latest state requirements.
You did it better than I, thank you. All right,
yeah. All right, thank you very much. The document in front of you is the Development Environmental Code, which again was adopted by Council on the 18th. Since that time, we've had an opportunity to use the code a little bit, go through it in a deliberate way, and we found some things that needed to be cleaned up based upon policy decisions made on the 18th, and then we just had inconsistent code language. All of that's important. Hoping you have a color copy.
We do.
Okay.
We do.
You're also seeing some changes in there that I believe are in red. Those are changes essentially dictated to us from the EPD. We sent off our ordinance to them to become a local issuing authority. They said, you're almost there. You needed to specifically say this. We're coming back to you to get that change made so that we can become a local issuing authority in our office. Due to some quirks in the code, when this returns to you for second read, you're going to get this as Article 1, 3, and 4 next week. In order to amend Article 2, you have to have a public hearing, so that will return to you on the 13th of April.
Okay. Questions for the environment? All right. Thank you. All right, Sharon.
An ordinance amending Chapter 7 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by making it consistent with latest state requirements.
Thank you very much. Same spiel, different code. This is Chapter 7 of the Building Code. We've had some time to clean up the language, and we've also discovered that in the process between adoption and now, and also some original adoption language, wasn't quite consistent with the state-mandated codes. So as you look at the first page, and it's talking about the 2006 edition and swapping out the standard building codes for the international codes. That's just what the state mandates at this time. There's also some other red line changes in there that, for the most part, were cleanup, but also amendments to reflect new requirements from the state.
Okay. Did anybody have a chance to read the red line yet, Robert?
Yeah, is this the one that's got the change that takes out the number of people per square feet on page 29?
Yes, it does.
So help us understand the logic behind that, although I must say, I wasn't all that happy about having it in there in the first place. It doesn't. My heart's not bleeding over its omission, but what's the thinking behind it?
I understand. This was originally put in the code and required by the state, and then once people started implementing it, they realized that once you calculate out these numbers, you've got to have a really big house. But by taking most of these numbers and applying it to a 1950s, 1960s ranch house, you can't live in it anymore. It's become code non-compliant. So rather than keep this in as this particular language, the state has mandated that it be removed.
Cool. So Robert, you can stay in your house.
I'd already moved out.
All right, any other questions or just for you, John?
Jennifer, can you tell me a little bit about the National Electrical Code where you have to change out all your outlets?
I cannot, but I have a gentleman with me tonight that can. If you would allow me to call Michael Dyer, our chief building official up here.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you. What was the question?
On page 2, you're talking the National Electrical Code. When there's a residential service change, you're forced to change to your GFI outlets?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me about that?
GFI outlets are ground fault circuit interrupters. They're required by current codes anywhere where you have water, such as bathrooms, kitchens, outside, garages, carports, unfinished basements, etc. Those areas are areas where people have a tendency to use extension cords and the likelihood of becoming electrocuted increases significantly. With a service change on a lot of these older homes, they don't have those devices installed. So with a service change, we're looking at that as one of the very few times that we're going to have an opportunity to educate people on the need for adding a GFCI receptacle within those required areas.
Okay, so it's not through the whole house?
No, it's just in
some of the circuits that are water related,
right,
or outdoor.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Jennifer staff? Yes, Denny? On page 14, Jennifer, the building permit evaluation. It seemed rather that they had a very long process of how to do all this, and then you scratched it all out, just evaluation being based upon the current ICC building evaluation, the size and types. And it says, unless otherwise stated within the fee schedule adopted by the resolution, the minimum tax. That's a big long section. I was trying to read that and trying to, what does it tell me?
You've just hit upon the core of our job all day long. When we adopted this code, it was before the fee schedule was before you. So we created the language of the fee schedule, and then we actually adopted the fee schedule. When we adopted the fee schedule, we said, we're just going to use the ICC valuation tables because then we're not relying on anybody's opinion about what things cost. We're relying upon the standard within the International Code Council of what things cost. So what this original paragraph says is, when you turn it in, you're going to tell us how much it costs, we're going to review it against this, and we're going to tell you whether it's right or wrong. You turn in your building permit, we do the calculation against the standard table, and that's what your building permit costs. So there's really no discretion on our part of your $5 and your $10.
Okay, so it simplifies the whole $5.
Yes. It now reflects what we actually do.
Any other questions for you? Yeah, John?
The section that was taken out on the square footage for the house and the number of residents, how does this affect boarding houses and the definition of boarding houses? Is this then in a different section?
Boarding houses and the definition of a boarding house is within the zoning code, so it is technically a separate code that can be amended independently. You can define boarding house and how many people you can fit in there strictly within the zoning code and have it be an independent regulation. The regulations within here that talk about the number of square footage per person is really a minimum health standard and is usually far broader than what a zoning code restricts you to.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just wondering what we had in the definition of boarding house and how many were allowed in the regulations. I'll have to look at it again.
We can look that up. I just don't have it.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions for Jennifer?
Aye.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Any other internal discussion?
Let's go to illicit discharges.
I'm sorry?
I said, let's go to illicit discharges.
Darren, do you the honor for illicit discharge?
In ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 28, illicit discharge and illegal connections, providing for inclusion and identification of the Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 28, illicit discharge and illegal connections.
Thank you. Stormar, all right.
Thank you very much. This is a new ordinance being proposed. This is not a state-mandated code, but it is a model code written by the North Georgia Metropolitan Water District. And it is dictated that you do adopt it in this form in order to be a permitting authority and get your MS4 permit and do all sorts of fun technical things on that end. Essentially what this ordinance does is it regulates the illegal discharge of non-stormwater water into the stormwater system. There are some exemptions in there as to what is considered an illicit discharge and what is exempt. And essentially that's all that's a part of this. It's kind of a package of other model ordinances that you've seen previously in December. And we recommend adoption as written.
Okay. Now, Danny, do you have a question regarding the fish fry, Monsignor, and the grease with you?
We didn't talk about illicit discharge.
What happened to that grease?
We threw the grease into it.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, it's recorded. It's okay. Don't use that.
Oh my God.
Jennifer, is this kind of a prelude into our stormwater utility? Is this something that we have to have to build onto our stormwater utility?
Yes, I'll let Richard help me with that one as well, but it's not a stormwater utility ordinance. That's absolutely necessary to start the stormwater utility, but it's part of the suite of ordinances that you have to have in place in order to properly regulate your community so that you can then be compliant with all of the state and federal stormwater standards.
Would you give me some examples of this, that kind of common at all?
You have to cheat a little bit and go to the exemption section. Excuse me one moment. Oh, I can cheat even better than that, actually. If you go to the definition section and you look at the definition of an illegal connection.
That is on page 3.
Thank you. Yes. And then directly above that is a definition for illicit discharge. And essentially this ordinance says don't do those two things.
You ask, are there a lot of these?
Not necessarily a lot. Usually it's very small things that come to your attention over time. And sometimes, unfortunately, you kind of have a grand moment where you have a chemical spill or something in your community, and this ordinance governs that portion of that as well.
Yes, Danny. Are leaves being blown into a stormwater drain considered illicit discharge?
Ooh. I peek toward the back. Yeah.
Well, Dan, you want to commit it now, or do you want to just
Chief, every leaf you put in there, somebody's got to dredge out.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for
another?
Yes, right.
Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry. Before you do, Sharon, any other discussions?
want to list it, this charge is. All right, Jim.
An ordinance of the City of Dunwoody adopting amendments to the 2006 edition of the International Property Maintenance Code, regulating and governing the conditions and maintenance of all property, buildings, and structures by providing the standards of supply facilities and facilities and other physical things and conditions essential to ensure that structures are safe, sanitary, and fit for occupation and use, and the condemnation of buildings and structures unfit for human occupancy and use of the demolition of such existing structures in the City of Dunwoody, providing for the issuance of permits and collection of fees, therefore, and for other purposes.
Thank you. I feel like I should applaud.
Thank you very much. This is, once again, a cleanup code to items that were adopted in December and early January before our office became operational. Coincidentally, the state mandated changes to this very code that were effective January 1st of this year. So that is the majority of the red line strike through that you see here. There was also some fill-in-the-blank information that was left out of the original adoption. There is one policy change that I will bring to your attention here on the first page of the ordinance under section 302.4. Instead of 8 inches for grass height, we did modify that, or we're proposing to modify that to 10 inches, and that was based upon Councilman Wittenstein of where did this number come from. We pulled some surrounding jurisdictions such as DeKalb County, Sandy Springs, Roswell, Chamblee, Doraville, Gwinnett, Marietta, Smyrna, and Stone Mountain. The majority of those ran at 24 inches in height. The shortest was 10 inches, Doraville, Smyrna, 8 inches. Everybody else right around the 12-inch mark are skipping right up to 24. So to be more consistent with our neighbors, we're proposing 10 inches.
All right.
Strictly a policy change, it's up to your group.
We raise the cattle, or what? From the farm, 10 inches, and you can raise a whole herd.
I have questions for Jennifer. I don't know. Raising cattle. All right.
Thank you very much. It was 24 inches. DeKalb County? Let's see. DeKalb County, Sandy Springs, and the City of Marietta.
No. DeKalb County was 12 inches, I think I looked it up.
Chief raised cattle.
Where's Jerry Penn when you need her?
Yeah, I think DeKalb was 12.
We can go back and check.
It's all right. 10 is fine.
Well, the reality of the situation is we're rarely running around with a ruler measuring grass.
That's what we don't want to do.
It needs to be addressed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.